It's Thursday, April 5th, and the Milwaukee Brewers are off to a hot start to start the 2018 season. The Bucks are playing some pretty decent basketball Sunday night notwithstanding, but both Giannis and Jabari had some interesting comments over the weekend. And the Chief heads to Vegas this weekend. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 279.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. SnowTap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
At Mitch Ross MKE.
Look at that. Getting his shout out in.
On Twitter.
Getting ready for his first Daily Tap appearance tomorrow. You excited?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're excited. Producer Murph's going to do Sunday. Get a little Masters Brewers recap. So we're going to take an off day on Saturday, which is okay. Not a big deal. And then we'll be back at it on Monday. And I'm sure I'll be half in the bag when I probably do that podcast as I go to Vegas, spend way too much money, and hopefully not embarrass myself. So all the usuals.
You'll be fine. You're a vet.
Yeah, I am a vet. And like,
this will be your what, second? Third?
So it's no, just my second just time. Second. But as a, as someone who's now doing it for a second time, you start to like hear it, everybody does Vegas differently, right? So like this is a totally different group. Like none of the guys who I went to Vegas with, which included you, I'm going on this trip with. So it's an entirely different like feel. Like these guys enjoy the club. And so it's a totally different like, and like we did the club one night and that was perfectly okay with us.
Yeah.
And we saw three different strip clubs, and that was perfectly great with us. Like, you know, we did the damn thing. You didn't you didn't make it second night because you got a little too lit up in the cabana.
I did.
You did not take some Taffer tips about having water. Water's in like 111 degree heat in late July.
Well, yeah, that could be.
So, and like we're doing the beach, we're doing the cabana thing on Saturday, or I'm told that they're beach couches and David Guetta's performing.
Wow.
So, hey, I guess.
NBD, but
guess
KBD.
So, yeah. And seeing Diplo tomorrow night, I mean, or tonight. So,
now does the resident SnowTap DJ have connects?
A little bit, yeah. We're getting a little hooked up with, like, Diplo price wise isn't too bad, actually, for Thursday. So, David Guetta, like, I just asked, like, I'm like, hey, I'm like, not familiar with, do I throw a wrench in this, but like, do we have a cabana? And I'm like, it's a beach couch. I'm like, oh great. So we're not going to have any like actual shade and I'm just going to burn. Cause like, I thought about that. I looked at myself in the mirror today and, you know, admiring myself. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking fry, man. Like, I have not. I've not seen the sun in weeks, in months.
The saving grace for you, though, is it's probably not going to be 111
no,
out there.
No, it's still...
It's probably going to be 90s.
Yep. Low 90s, high 80s. So it's still going to be nice.
That's nice.
Going to be awesome. I mean, the weather, it'll feel like sex those first couple days because it's been so bad here that it's just going to be awesome. So
right. The other thing to keep in mind, too, about Vegas is you never know who's hustling, what you might get a deal on.
Well,
what you might get tickets to.
Oh yeah, and that's the other thing. Like I think there
maybe
all,
hustling isn't the right word.
No,
but that's
no,
pretty
but,
much what it is.
But that I mean, we did that for Hakkasan the first night. We ended up getting like into all these places for like $50.
We didn't have any plans. I don't think anything concrete first night, and it just kind of happened.
And then we kind of got sick of the club. We did a little gambling, and then we went on our merry way to a gentleman's club where people told us it was a bachelor party, and then things just went south from there.
Yes,
so we need to speak no more on that. But at the same time, like, you're right, things just happen. And you got to also be careful of those hustlers. I remember remember that last night when we were at Caesars and the Caesars hotel people were like, these guys are crooks, and they threw us in a bus and took, and they're like, here, go with our guy. That was wild.
I do remember one of those nights with the buses. We didn't have the right pass, or we didn't do the right thing, so they like wouldn't let
Caesar's
us in right away.
That was Caesar's, or no, yeah, that was the strip club.
Whatever it was, you know, where you're supposed to get this included, you know, something was not right. But That's so, Vegas.
So if I go to Spearmint Rhino this time around, do I ask Floyd Mayweather to come on the podcast later, like a couple weeks from now? Just be like, hey, Floyd, come on the podcast. Like, I don't know if I need Floyd.
Not really
on the
a big
podcast.
Fan of that guy.
Me either. I'm just saying. He's apparently he's like, what I've heard is like, if you go to Spearmint Rhino, famous strip club for those unfamiliar, that he's just there like all the time, like legit, like just throwing money.
Yeah.
Which is like cool, I guess.
If you have it.
If you have it, do it, right?
Yeah. So if you got it, flaunt it.
So we'll see. The other annoying thing is like, well, if we all have all these bottles, you're just gonna be like just thirsty bar rats sweating us and being like, oh my God, like you have tables, like it's so fucking easy to be a girl in Vegas.
I don't know anything about.
But. I know, but I'm just saying, you got to think like those, like that's another hustle. Like the hustle
Oh, God, dude. I mean, everything is a hustle there.
Yeah.
It's not even real life.
So, sounds good. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that's probably enough Vegas talk. Well, I guess the last thing, and it'll transition into sports. Do I put a future World Series bet on the Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, boy.
I know they're losing, right?
I mean,
they kind of do, right? Like they just have kind of had a little bit of magic here in these first five games, where it's like,
oh, they've had more magic this year than I think last year all combined.
Absolutely, I think like so. This transitions us well into the Brewers, but like we talked about that. If you really go back in the archives and you look at where like why don't people care about this team in like September of last year, and like people were just sort of like, Brewers or whatever.
Oh, I brought this up a lot, I think.
It was like there was no magic.
Yeah.
And now we've
not there just wasn't much there with that team. I mean, they were winning games, but you know, their offense got worse as the season went on pretty
right.
much.
Right. They were the 20th offense in the league. And, I mean, they weren't that good.
The stat was kind of put out there quite a bit today that they were 1-57. Last year, trailing after 8 innings.
Yeah.
So, essentially, one dramatic victory last year.
And now they've had two.
That must have been the Padres game.
And they've had two in a week, essentially.
Right. Two to start the year. Ryan Braun has 3 hits. 2 of them are game-winning home runs.
Yeah, he's, like, only batting, like, 100, right? He's not.
Yeah.
He's been really kind of off to a slow start, per se.
Right.
But he's had two of the biggest hits of the year already.
Yep.
And the Brewers are 4-1, and they might lose tonight. You're down 4-0 to Carlos Martinez.
They were down 4-0 on Tuesday night.
They were, but Carlos Martinez is a different animal. I mean,
true.
Martinez can really make things happen.
And on that note, you can't really afford to get down 4-0 every night.
No, and especially when you got a team like the Cubs coming to town, and the Cubs' offense has been pretty bad. They've had a few days off, though, which I don't know if that helps. They were off today.
Yeah, they have that weird.
And then they were postponed against Cincinnati on Tuesday. So they've had some time to really kind of stew here. So we'll see where that Cubs kind of heads at on Thursday night with Kyle Hendricks and Brent Suter as the matchup.
Yeah.
But you're going to need a good Brent Suter start, and that's asking a lot.
I think it is at this point. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with his momentum from last year. Suter was good last year, and I think the way he pitches is conducive to him getting guys out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a good way to. I heard something. I don't know what I was talking with somebody about today, but it was like one of those things. I don't know if it was a quote from a pitcher, a former pitcher or something, but it's like for how fast Brent Suter works, he does it right in my opinion because it's like you don't want to be out there.
Yeah.
Get in and out as fast as you can.
Absolutely.
Just get outs as quick as you can. Get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a Yovani Gallardo who would take, you know, hours to get through 5 innings.
Same with the Wolf, man.
Yeah.
He also was like that.
These dudes just labored, and it's like.
Right.
You know, it's get off the field, right?
No, no question about it. And so.
To use a football analogy.
The fact is, yes, the Brewers, even if they do fall tonight, I mean, 4-2 to start the year, no one's complaining about that.
No.
Now, you really just hope for a split against the Cubs. I know some people would be disappointed with a split against the Cubs, but the Cubs are still probably the cream of the crop of the division. They are struggling right now, so if you can somehow get 3 out of 4 or, God forbid, a sweep, like that's house money.
Yeah.
We've always talked about that with,
and don't
with
forget the Brewers
and the Bucks and the Brewers.
The Brewers got a sweep in Wrigley late last year.
They did.
I mean, a lot of the same guys on these teams.
No, I think there's a good amount of confidence, and I think the Brewers know that the Cubs have been struggling offensively. This is a good hey, it's a weird thing to say, but it's a good weekend for the pitching staff to get right because they set the major league record for strikeouts in five games, 58 of them. So it might be a good time for this team to get right. Now, if the Cubs reset and they say, oh, yeah, we in these days off, we kind of found a couple things, and now we're just mashing the ball, then maybe the Brewers are in a little trouble.
Yeah.
But who knows? Baseball is a weird sport like that.
I mean, the Cubs lineup is stacked.
Right. And
the Brewers, aren't bad.
And
but
it's not to say that these Brewer-Cubs games all weekend could be 7-6.
Yeah.
And who wins, it comes down to the final at-bat every
right.
game.
I mean, some of the weak links that they've had in the last couple of years, you know, like Zobrist, who's getting older.
Right.
He's
yeah.
pretty much not an everyday player anymore.
No, right.
He's been replaced by Ian Happ or Javier Baez or
right,
whoever.
And you have Kyle Schwarber now, who's skinny, and you have, but he still has the same power, like, and can kind of steal bases,
skinny,
and
fat.
Is a little more athletic. Like, you know, you have guys, like, they have dudes. All Wilson Contreras replaced a guy like Miguel Montero,
right.
who was Miguel Montero was all right, but he was
they've kind
he's not Contreras. Like,
all their years of being terrible have kind of now they're really reaping that, where now they're not only do they have star players. But now they're quote unquote role players are also top prospects.
I mean, isn't that the hope for what the Brewers
yeah.
can be? And that you'll not only have the stars, but you'll also have those guys like you just mentioned.
Right. Like hopefully a Keston Hira comes in,
yeah.
you know, maybe this time next year already and is, you know, doesn't have to be the guy, can hit seventh.
Right.
You know, and play second base.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe VR moves to the bench or who knows, maybe he's gone. But you know, that is the dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, 1-5, the Brewers are set pretty good in the lineup.
Yeah, it's sexy.
And they're producing enough.
What do you think about the way that Council has done the lineup so far, with Ron getting pretty much guaranteed the third game he doesn't
yeah.
play?
So every third game he's going to be off. That's,
but
I mean,
Thames got both games this series. It's maybe, is he going to flip back and forth? Is that Thames got this series, and then next series Santana will get two out of the three. It'll be interesting to see what he does with a four-gamer.
I think Council's big on matchups.
Yeah, I do too.
So, I mean, it probably just depends on what the guys, whoever has the better numbers against that day's starter.
Right. And Santana had good numbers against Martinez tonight. And
I think Council's going to not be afraid to go to the bench. He's got plenty of depth. You know, somebody makes a bad throw, makes a bad error, you might not see him out there the next inning.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that happened once already in the San Diego series.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think
guys,
you're right.
Guys he can trust on the bench, like Sogard. I think Zeus Aguilar.
Yeah.
He can trust him offensively. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be shy to go to the bench. Lorenzo Cain hitting third when Brian Braun's not in there is fine. You're not going to get the power numbers, but
I think you saw it in this. You saw it work to perfection in San Diego, where he just set the table. Like
yep.
Yelich set the table for Kane, and then Kane set the table for Shaw, and then Shaw drove him in.
Yeah.
And that was to perfection.
Yeah.
And might not work out that way every time, but they can hit you to death, and they can just they're not looking for power. They're just looking to. They're just looking to sort of just keep the ball rolling, keep the guys running around the bases.
Yeah.
So
well, and one thing we haven't really touched on yet is the starting pitching.
Yeah.
That we know we will get a good start at one point this year, but I will say that you just alluded to it, the offense, good enough, and I think the bullpen's going to be really good.
Yeah. And
that's going to really help alleviate some of the starting rotation shortcomings.
And yesterday on Daily Tap, you can go back and listen to it, I said that I am not here to worry about the starting pitching. Officially, I'm going to stake my flag into this, Mitch, that I'm not here to worry about the starting pitching until after four starts. Because I listened to like a DFS podcast about baseball pretty regularly, and they were talking about when can you start looking at a player's season from a DFS perspective? Like, if this is a guy we should target or a guy that we shouldn't target, when do we have to start taking this year into consideration? And they said four starts. And I thought about, I applied that just to real life. And I said, yeah, that's about true. And like the Chase Anderson velocity stuff was down. But as James Longher of Brew Crew Ball pointed out, Chase was sick as a dog last week. Guy probably doesn't have all of his fluids back. He's not fully healthy, probably. His cold weather isn't helping him recover.
He also smacked his fucking face on the home plate in opening day.
Yeah.
So maybe that had something to do with it.
So I,
everybody, by the way, everybody was so worried about that.
Yeah.
So I had to tweet like, he's fine. Yeah. Thank Jesus.
He's fine.
He just hit his head on the plate.
He went to the, I didn't go to the game because they were playing the Bobcats. Exactly. He's fine.
He's just fine.
Like, yeah, no, I think everyone worried because they saw what Jimmy Nelson did last year, and pitchers are just known putzes. Yeah. You know, it's like Tony Finau dislocating his ankle.
I was laughing so hard, but that was disgusting.
He ended up playing golf. Like, people thought he might have been done.
He just dislocated his ankle and popped it right back in.
I mean, could you imagine that? You work your way to the Masters. It's obviously the biggest tournament of the year. And you're cheering on this hole in one. Because it's like a fun event. It's like it's their version of a slam dunk contest, which is like, yeah, par three contest, great. But he's celebrating, and then he just pops an ankle. I mean, he popped that shit right back in, but good for him. So, yes, I do think this. I think the fact that Chacin's a slow starter, that Zach Davies is a slow starter, sucks. I mean, it's just sort of, you have to take the good and the bad and know that these guys just get off to slow starts.
Well, and I talked to one Tim Allen right before we recorded this podcast, and he was a little critical of David Stearns, you know, off the air, saying, he said, you know, I think Stearns set the table, but he hasn't eaten yet.
I think the Brewers want to get Chris Archer. I think they want to get Chris Archer. That's my take. I'll put that out right there now.
I think they want him, yeah.
No, I think they want Chris Archer. I think they couldn't come up with a package in the offseason, including Brinson, and that's why I got Yelich. And they couldn't get – they had a choice between – okay, here, let me rephrase. I got it figured out now.
Yeah.
They had a choice between Yelich or Chris Archer.
Yep.
They had said to themselves, we have either one. We can't get both Yelich or Chris Archer. We're going to do this.
Just with the prospect bank, you can't,
right.
You can't get both.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Now we're going to hope that some of these prospects who might not have been interested, the Rays may not have been interested in, we're going to hope they progress. Some guys that are still on our would trade bucket, mm-hmm. and some of those guys we're not going to trade. And now they're now going to make a push for Archer again come June or July.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. It's like, you don't have to trade for guys right now.
No.
Like, there's none but time.
Right.
Archer's under team control, I believe.
Yep, he is for
another,
a few years.
Another year or two.
Same with Marcus Stroman, who is, I think, another guy who's going to get some serious buzz.
Yeah.
He's not as exciting as Chris Archer.
I would say he's more.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Isn't he younger?
He's younger, and he's a ground baller, which I think he doesn't give up as many home runs.
I feel like if you can't get Chris Archer, though, you're definitely not getting Marcus Stroman.
I don't know. I think it has something to do with the Rays just as an organization, as they're so analytical and there's so much of that where they don't necessarily get fleeced. I'm not saying you could fleece the Blue Jays.
They probably have hard and fast numbers that they go by, and
right.
It's like, oh, you want to give us this guy, but his on-base percentage is 320
his
and not
WARP
330.
Or his FIP is this and his ex-FIP is that.
Well, and God bless the Rays because they have to do something with a $50 million budget.
Man, baseball's in a sneaky bad spot with the Rays and the A's. Like, the A's only drew like 7,000 last game.
Really?
Did you see that?
See, but the A's actually have diehard fans.
Well, they do have diehards, and
the Rays have no history.
They just won't build a stadium for them.
Right.
Like, they just will not build a stadium for them. And the A's kind of have a sneaky, exciting team with guys like Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Chris Davis, Johnny Lucroy.
They
like,
got rid of your boy Ryan Healy, though.
Yeah, Sean Manaea. Yeah, he's on Seattle. They have Sean Manaea, who's a promising young pitcher.
Yeah.
They just have a few dudes. Like, they don't necessarily have like a stud roster, but they have like a team who can win 80 games and wouldn't really be that surprising, but they just don't have a stadium. You have the Rays where it's us. You're right. It's all transplants.
The Rays is all transplants, a dump of a stadium.
Just moving to Nashville, just moving to Charlotte, like just get a place that actually is going to care about baseball because
I don't think you can move the A's.
I don't think you can, especially after taking the Raiders. I don't know.
I'm just, you know, just again with how much, they do have a passionate fan base.
Right.
Whether people actually go or not is,
yeah.
You know.
And I don't think you can bring a team back to Montreal. I know that that's been talked about before, but it's like Montreal had their chance. I get it that they come support the Blue Jays when they come to town for exhibition games, but let's not make the same mistake. Yeah. And also, too, you have to deal with, like, French currency and, like, I don't know, Quebec's just a different place. Apparently Montreal's a great city to go
to. That's what I've heard, too.
But, yes, a lot of good bagels there, apparently. Mm. You a bagel guy?
Sure.
You don't dive into bagels, like everything bagels?
Breakfast food, I'm a muffin guy.
Okay, or, more muffin guy, all right.
Yeah, muffins at Pick and Save are great.
Okay, shout out to Pick and Save.
Yeah.
Hook us up. A little muffin action.
Donuts at Sendix as well are the best.
Okay, yeah, I can go for a good donut, good Bavarian cream there. Do cream donuts weird you out?
Sometimes, but I don't. I like the more whipped cream type.
Oh, so like, yeah, on top or in?
Well, on top's fine. And but, then, but in the center, it's a little more whipped.
Oh, okay. All right. So that was Breakfast Talk with Chuck and Mitch.
That's
Look forward to that offshoot podcast at some point. So, all right, Brewers play the Cubs 4 games. Then they're in St. Louis for 3 again. Anything you're looking ahead to this week that you want to see more of, less of, what you hope that's going to come out of these next 7 games? Who knows when we podcast next?
I just think the pitching, I would like to see a little better starting pitching.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough against the Cubs. But I think that if you get a good start out of Suter, start it off, you know, maybe that'll set the tone.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm with you there.
The offense could be a little better.
I'd like to see, I feel like, yes, there is, I want to see if Domingo Santana or Eric Thames separates themselves. You know, I think it's still a little early to have that conversation, but at some point, one of those guys is going to separate themselves and make a case that they need to be playing more like 3 or 4 times than just 3 times. So I want to see if that happens. I'm always interested to see how the bullpen continues on. Like, is there going to be a guy where we're like, oh my God, besides Oliver Drake, because fuck Oliver Drake. But like,
has he even pitched at all?
He did. He pitched 2 innings on opening day, the home opener.
Oh, he did.
So. Because just mop-up duty, right? And also, too, looking forward to Brandon Woodruff's first start.
True.
Hopefully the bullpen didn't really affect him too much in that regard.
Yeah, he's made a couple long relief
appearances. He was good. He was good in San Diego, and then he gives up the home run to, I think it was DeJong, right? And that kind of skewed Davies' like stat line. It wasn't as indicative.
Gave up seven runs, 6
runs. Yeah, I just think that's kind of bullshit.
8 runs?
It was, 7 and 6. But I feel like that's kind of bullshit because really it should be attributed to Woodruff for giving up the home run. I don't know how
But you let him on base.
It's true.
Maybe they should do something where it's like if they're in scoring position, then.
Yeah, baseball wouldn't get tight. I mean, ERAs are like not like set in stone. Like you could do like a half run. Like it should be a half to each, especially because it's a home run. If he gives up just a base hit and it scores, then hell yeah, that should be to Davies, you know? I don't know.
I think a good way to, but would be like if you leave the bases loaded and you give up a granny.
Yeah.
Pitching change, then maybe the home run and the guy in first goes to the reliever.
Okay.
The two guys in scoring position go to the guy.
I can get down with that. Yeah. So we'll see.
We can't even get guys to vote certain people in the Hall of Fame. Let alone change little rules.
Yeah.
But they might start a guy at second in extra innings.
Yeah. That's bullshit. Absolutely not. Like
thing I thought of if they wanted to do that would be like, maybe instead of doing that, have base runners roll over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like if you strand a guy at second in one inning, it rolls over the next inning.
I think the only time that makes sense is if you get past like the 14th inning.
Yeah.
I think
if it gets past like 12 or something. Because
the Cubs Marlins, right. The Cubs, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like I was looking at box scores, you know, obviously checking how I'm doing DK was. And I'm looking last Friday and I'm like, Cubs Marlins are really in 16 innings right now.
Yeah,
like
that's
ridiculous.
It was like the Brewers game was like in the 3rd inning and they were still going. And I was like, holy balls.
Yeah. And that was,
I think that's a good idea. Once it gets past like the 12th inning, then you start again. It's almost like a shootout in hockey.
Right. And then I think you take it away. Like a shootout in hockey, they don't have those in the playoffs. Like in the playoffs, it's back to normal. We can go 20 fucking innings if we need to.
Yeah.
Because don't ruin the playoffs.
Just figure out a way to speed it up a little bit.
All right. So moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. So weird week. Like I wrote this in the
weird kinda, season.
Weird season. I feel like if you go back and you just do a super cut of like when we start talking about a Bucks weekly wrap, the amount of times I just say, well, it was a weird week, would probably be like 75 to 80% of them.
Oh, man.
And see, Mitch is playing the sad Todd Day drop, but at the same time, they've won 4 of their last 6.
Right.
Like, so it's like, it's such a conflicting time to be a Bucks fan. Because this...
Milwaukee!
This Denver loss was just so bad. Like,
just, if they would have just held on there,
yeah,
I think it'd be a lot.
No, we'd be
a lot different.
We'd be like, could this Bucks team actually like win a series? Like, did they figure this out?
I guarantee you that would have been today's topic.
Absolutely, would have been.
It would have been. Have we figured? Because they do look better.
Yes,
they had a rough stretch there.
Yes,
but they look better, and I think the common thread is that Thon Maker isn't playing.
Yeah,
there's other ones too, but I mean, just God bless Thon, but he just cannot play.
So Thon was healthy though, but he got a DMP last night. Yeah, and
again, the weird thing, this doesn't change. All of a sudden, he could just easily play 25 minutes, maybe not 25, but probably 18. on tonight.
But you play teams like Brooklyn and New York who are just tanking and just wanting the season to get over. That getting Thon some exposure to those teams isn't a bad thing. I can argue that.
No,
but I think last night we saw as close, and I said this on the podcast yesterday, but you can agree or disagree. Don't you think that we saw the playoff roster last night, the playoff lineup? They shortened the bench.
Yeah.
It was not – Jason Terry only played 18 minutes, thank God.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that when Malcolm comes back, he would
take
all those minutes.
Right.
You saw good Zeller again.
Zeller had 17 minutes.
Henson was assy, but – when isn't he?
When just when he's playing, got teams like Brooklyn and New York and teams.
But you saw those weird Shabazz Muhammad minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
sure. A little curious.
I don't know. Maybe Prunty has
we need a couple.
He has a little
here.
Bit of a Bazzy boner. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. But the offense wasn't struggling.
No,
I mean, and the one of the I was covering the game last night, and one of the guys asked me. He was actually an 88.9 writer. He was doing a piece on the Bradley Center or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you think about Shabazz Muhammad? It's kind of a random question. And I was just like, I mean, he is what he is, you know, like
he wouldn't pass the salt at dinner.
Exactly. And that's a Marcus Johnson line, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Like he's a scorer, but he can't shoot. It's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
That means you're a 10 point a game scorer probably.
Right.
And you're not going to be worth a damn. So yeah. I don't know what his contract situation is. I'm sure he's gone after this year. Anyway.
Probably. But he gets to play on a playoff team. He asked. That's why he wanted.
Yeah, you got to play on a contender, right?
Yeah, he wanted to be on a contender.
If you define contender.
Well, hey man, Minnesota
may be falling there somewhere.
Minnesota might miss the playoffs, which would be devastating.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
It would be devastating.
But, I mean, you lost your best player for how long now?
Yep.
Jimmy Butler would be the heart and soul of any team.
Oh yeah.
And everyone in the West is just hotter than hell since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So it's earned beyond. And before that, I mean, Utah. Well, I mean, what's their record with Gobert this year?
I know.
What have they lost 10 games with him?
I don't know. Utah is really deadly. Like, Utah has been really good. They really put together a nice roster. I mean,
and I'll tell you what. And speaking of that, you know, the NBA playoffs are kind of wide open.
The NBA playoffs are going to be so fun, Mitch. We're going to have so much fun.
It's not your last 2 years where it's like,
no.
Cleveland and Golden State are going to be there.
Yes.
Whatever happens doesn't even matter.
You guys know.
But now you have a vulnerable Cleveland team.
Yep.
Golden State isn't healthy. Maybe they are. We don't.
Steph Curry isn't. Steph isn't playing the first round. He may be back in the second round, but I don't think they're going to push it. And I love producer Murph, but Murph thinks it's a done deal that the Cavs get to the finals. The Cavs are terrible defensively.
They are.
Yes, LeBron can carry you in a fourth quarter, but they are so bad defensively. And the team that bad defensively has not got to the. I mean,
I just think that a lot of your, and this I'm guilty of this too. I think that a lot of people just don't trust anyone else in the East.
It's fair. Why would you?
I mean, Toronto has now. Granted, Toronto has the best team they've ever had, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
clearly.
No, they can't beat the Cavs.
They
lost
they
again last night.
Recently.
And they play Boston today.
They blew a huge lead in the first meeting.
Yeah,
of recently. They blew. I believe the Toronto did blow them out once this year, earlier in the season.
Yep.
Up in Canada, but the two recent meetings, they blew a huge lead, and then they kind of got sneaky blown out.
Right.
Right. On Tuesday night.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can't really. And then Boston, they're hurt. They're out. We saw it firsthand. They're depleted.
Right. They're definitely shorthanded. Terry Rozier is kind of playing, but he took last night off to play against Toronto this evening. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, we'll just sort of see with these teams. They're a little bit of a wreck.
And again, out west, I mean, like you said, Utah's sneaky. You know, all these teams are hot. San Antonio's about the most boring team in NBA history, but they keep winning.
So So just real quick with the East, do you think Philadelphia can win? Do you think Philadelphia can get to like the Eastern Conference Finals? Won 11 straight.
I mean,
they've kind of got it on a bad schedule. They've had a really easy schedule.
They've played a lot of cupcakes. They're getting fat on cupcakes. But, I mean, yeah, I guess as long as if Embiid comes back in time.
Right.
I think without him, they're in trouble.
Well, and if Saric's elbow is a real issue, then because Saric, I think, is good enough to like hold the water with how good Simmons is, and Simmons, they don't have enough shooting maybe with just Simmons and Embiid.
Well, but Bellinelli's been good for them.
Yeah,
surprise,
your boy,
and even Ersan.
So you did mention the Spurs. I'm sorry to kind of jump, but I did want to ask you. So Spurs probably will not have Kawhi. The Kawhi-Spurs thing is like fully a breakup.
It's kind of at an impasse.
Windhorst reported yesterday that several teams are already going to be making offers.
Yeah.
So do you expect that the Bucks make an offer? Do you want them to make an offer for Kawhi Leonard? Do you think Kawhi wants to come here, or is he kind of out on small markets?
Okay, let's see. That's three or four questions.
I'm sorry.
I would say yes, they'll make an offer.
Yep.
Whether San Antonio laughs and hangs up the phone or not is their prerogative. Would I want them to? Yes. Absolutely.
Kawhi and Giannis. Anybody
outside
shit.
Of Giannis is certainly available in that trade.
Yeah. It's all hands on deck. I mean, it is like, okay, if you have to trade, I think they would want Brogdon because that Brogdon's a Spur. Like, if you look at...
I mean, that fucking sucks, too, but you're
but
right.
But he's a Spur.
He is a Spur.
He is a Spur. Like, they already have Kyle Anderson, another Virginia product.
Anderson went to UCLA.
No, did he?
Yeah. You're thinking of Justin Anderson.
Classic mix-up.
Yeah. He's on Philadelphia.
You're right, but Kyle Anderson looks like a Virginia player, so whatever.
He's slow and
whatever.
Goofy.
So, yes. Sorry, Kyle. So, yes, Brogdon does belong on the Spurs. Like, if you just say...
Well, Brogdon's just... I mean... It's sad, but he's the highest IQ player on the Bucks,
right?
Like by a mile.
And they would probably, I don't think they would want Eric Bledsoe. I think they'd want Brogdon. I think they'd want Middleton. And I would think they may like take a chance on Thon just because Spurs can do that.
I think it starts with Jabari. That's where
interesting. I don't know if Popovich would get down with that defense, and they have LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know where you put Jabari Parker.
LMA is a center, whether he wants to be or not.
I don't know. It's interesting that you think it starts with Jabari.
It's the only way you're going to give him enough value.
You don't think Middleton.
Middleton,
Brogdon, and
Thon. That's taking at least another first.
And yeah, probably. You probably have to go next year's first too.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. They can get better offers from other teams.
Probably.
I'm not involved in Celtics Twitter, but from what I've seen from national guys. Basically, Celtics Twitter is just what superstar they think they're going to get next with all their assets.
Yep.
So I think
they'd flip
but
Hayward.
Then what? I mean, you'd have to get rid of Tatum probably.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd get
Tatum's
rid of
Tatum's awesome.
I don't
too.
Know if I'd get rid of Jason Tatum for Kawhi Leonard.
For as much as people want to rip the Bucks about, you beat Boston, a depleted Boston team. Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford are all really good players.
Jalen Brown's the real deal, and so is Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
both are high IQ players.
There's a reason they've won 53 games or whatever.
Right. I mean, Danny Ainge has done a great job assembling that roster.
Well,
and
as I said to our buddy Alex Bader last night, I'm like, must be nice to compete and get a top five pick every year.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, you can serve two masters in the correct direction.
Absolutely.
You can teach a young team how to win and compete. And
right.
also build your talent base at the same time.
Right.
Here we are.
Nice. So the Bucks basically have to do this. Don't fuck it up here in the next three games because.
Well, I believe
you have Brooklyn
tonight.
The
Bucks are going to clinch.
Yeah.
So
yes,
you're in. But obviously,
so you have Brooklyn tonight. Do they play New York tomorrow or
Saturday?
Okay, and that's at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
So I go to the Garden on Saturday night. And then they're back home for the final game at the Bradley Center against Orlando before wrapping up against Philly. And you're deadlocked with a Wizards team who's leaking oil at this point and a Miami team who they hate each other, I think, with Hassan Whiteside's comments, who's just like, fuck this team, which is good, exactly what you want.
He said that about his team, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. He was like, it's bullshit I'm not in here. And then he got fined. And then Spoelstra said it's a non-issue. But still, that's just not what you want to hear about five games out of the playoffs. So
Hassan Whiteside is a bit of a head case.
it would be very Bucks to get on a hot streak and be like, oh, the Bucks are red hot. Oh, you get Cleveland in the first round. Yeah. That would be very Bucks. If you're really thinking what would be the most Bucksy thing to happen, it would be them getting Cleveland in the first round. Mm-hmm. ABC and TNT would come themselves. I mean,
well, it would be
a massive spotlight for Giannis.
And it'd also be them.
And it'd be really good.
It'd be to back into the sixth seed too. Like Washington loses out, you know, the Heat lose out, and the Bucks blow two of these games, and you're sitting at
that. Yeah,
you
know, I guess that would be.
You don't have a lot of momentum.
That's more depressing than what I made it out to be.
And you're the sixth seed, and you're like, you fucking bet. We're playing Cleveland after struggling here the last week of the season.
No, but if they keep playing well and they get hot and they win these three games and Philly's kind of a toss up, but Philly could be like, all right, we're locked in at the four, we're resting everybody,
yeah.
And the Bucks still need to play and they
Lord knows Philadelphia's not shy to rest players.
No, not at all.
They'll do it for years at a time.
They've done it for sure. So we'll see. We'll see where we're at next week when we talk on the podcast. Bradley Center closing officially, or not closing, but it's done with basketball, at least for the regular season, on Monday. Do you have any Bradley Center memories that, like, just off the top of your head, or can you not? I don't know. You've only lived here a few years.
I didn't grow up in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee area. I didn't go to my first Bucks game until I was in ninth grade.
Right.
Regular season in Milwaukee.
Yep.
I did see LeBron. I think it was when he was a rookie.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
We were in ninth grade, right? That was my first.
Yeah.
First Bucks game was LeBron, I believe, when he was a rookie, 2004.
Awesome. Right? That's cool. Yeah, somewhere.
So that's pretty cool. Not that I, really cared about him, but
right.
Still kind of cool to say, knowing that probably this dude is.
Yeah, he's gonna be the best.
He was, and at that point, he was still a rookie, and
right.
He was the most hyped up player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah. I've never seen Kobe. I never saw Jordan when they were in town. It just was one of those things where the tickets were always crazy and my dad wasn't that big of a hoop fan to be like, oh, we're going to go watch Jordan play.
Tickets are crazy. And you have to remember that until the last 2-3 years, bandwagon fans were a huge issue.
Yep. Absolutely.
At those games.
No question about it.
And for those of us, it's like when the Cubs are here.
Yep.
Brewer fans just don't even want to be around those people.
Yep.
So you end up not going.
Yeah.
And that's why, because you just get sick of it.
I would totally muck it up with the Cubs fans this weekend, though, if I was here.
For sure.
Just because.
last year, the game six last year was pretty fun.
Yeah.
They lost, but they had a huge comeback. And I was at that game. That was pretty fun.
There's something about being in the arena for one of those moments where you just kind of feel like everything's happening.
Yeah.
Where it's like you just are, like I remember
they were down by what, 25?
Yeah.
In the third quarter and came back and took the lead.
One of my favorite Bradley Center memories actually is a Marquette one, but it was a loss to Georgetown. I think when Jeremiah Rivers hit a shot, so Austin's older brother, hit a shot to win it, or got fouled by Dominic James. And Georgetown Marquette were both like top 15, top 20 teams. And I was sicker than shit. Like I went to like urgent care. I came home from college as a freshman, went to urgent care that day, the day to like
Young
get myself
Charles
looked at.
Couldn't even
and
hang
my
anymore.
My voice was like, was dying. And still I went to the fucking game and I felt like shit.
So
the rest
was that would have been like Dominic James, Wes Matthews.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the so that team was actually really good. It was the 2007-2008 Marquette team.
Jarrell McNeil?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
And Dom breaks his foot against UConn, and that team was so hot in the Big East. Like, they were really, really good.
Back when the Big East was good?
Fuck off. Dominic James breaks his foot, and that cost Marquette the season. Like, Marquette just... They weren't as good of a team when James left as he gets hurt.
Yeah.
But that game was incredible. The energy in that arena, when that barn's rocking, that it's something else, man. It is loud. Doesn't get enough credit. But yeah. If you did get a Cavs-Bucks playoff series, that thing would be just a madhouse.
Yeah.
The hype around it would ABC, TNT. I mean, Bucks would be
we'd have no day games.
No, we'd have day games. We'd get the 2:30 ABC.
Maybe. Yeah.
Get that 2:30 ABC life. So.
Yeah, the Sunday games.
I could deal with being against LeBron. I get pissed at how much people were sucking his dick throughout the podcast,
including the refs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, All right.
The other quick Bradley Center memory was the, I think it was the game, one of the Atlanta series in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
When Bango went backwards off the ladder. I was there for that one. I don't remember what happened in the game, unfortunately.
Were you a little too sauced?
No, not really. Probably had a couple, but I wasn't too bad. No. That place is packed for that, too.
Yep. I also saw Bruce Springsteen there in concert, which is way up there with people I've seen.
I've never been to a concert at the BC.
That's crazy. It took me a while to get to one, but I've been to a few, and that was all right. Are we already at time?
Pretty much.
Wow. Do you want to talk a little Masters since we got a little time?
Sure.
I know you're not a golf fan, so you can let me ramble.
Yeah, I can bumble my way through
it. You can bumble your way through it. Mitch is not part of the cream cheese life.
We talked a little bit about Tony Finau or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Are you just going to take him just because? Like,
yeah,
whatever?
Let's do it.
So who are...
He's a football guy.
So let me ask you, like, for you as a very casual golf fan, and I'm one guy who probably watches pretty much once, a little bit a
week.
Even
that's generous, probably.
Okay, that's perfect. Where do you sit on Tiger Woods? Like, if Tiger Woods is in contention on Saturday or Sunday, are you watching, like, are you flipping back and forth with Dad and
the
Brewers?
I do watch quite a bit on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll watch the final hole probably Sunday.
Okay.
But if Tiger's there, man, I'd be paying attention.
You'd be just having tweets like,
yeah.
Why is Patrick Reed
but
wearing
more so
red?
Because I'm evil and I'd want to see him. Because everyone's getting their hopes up, dude. And it's just...
I do agree that
there are people that think he's back, and it's like, wait a minute.
As a someone who dabbles in the daily fantasy, I'm like at about a full fade. A little bit. I'm at a like a full fade for Tiger Woods because I just feel like he's going to be so highly owned that. And I think
he's probably not that expensive, and people are just
a little bit. But I haven't looked at pricing, but he's still there. I mean, Phil Mickelson's another guy who I think people want to see him. Recapture the magic. I'm not a huge Phil guy.
Who won last year?
Sergio Garcia.
That's right.
Which sucked.
His first major.
Yeah,
right?
It was Sergio and Justin Rose.
That's right.
Justin Rose.
That did piss me off a little bit.
Be another favorite. I think a guy who could kind of sneak in the back door is Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
No one's talking about him. He's really not had a good year.
Is he not the number one golfer in the world?
He is, but he's had a really shitty year.
Yeah.
And so people think.
What about your boy Jason Day?
Jason Day could. Jason Day is known to kind of just blow up at some point where he just has a.
He cruises, and then he has a Dave Bush.
Yeah, Dave Bush is at hard and shoots a 75, 78.
Isn't that kind of Ricky Fowler's deal, too, where he'll hang around, and then he just has a really bad, like, triple bogey or something?
I think Ricky's problem is he comes close, but he just never, like, has that sort of Justin Thomas, like, last year in the PGA where he just puts the pedal down. Like, he just can't. Seem to just separate
right.
himself. So he lets guys hang around.
It's just one shithole and it just keeps him.
He's classically known to come from behind. So if he's in the lead, he doesn't really play well with the lead. So any other golfers you want to pepper me on?
Bubba?
Oh man.
You hate Bubba Watson.
Fuck. That would really suck.
I don't know why I like that guy.
Hung over.
Because he taught himself how to play golf. He's a weirdo, but like. You have to be a golfer.
As someone who like kind of hates the Bible thumping society, you liking Bubba Watson's a very big juxtaposition. Just saying.
I think just him teaching himself how to golf really is really impressive. And
okay.
I mean, to be as far as you've gone and never take a single lesson is just crazy.
He's still a fuckboy. So we'll leave that at that.
That's fine.
That is a great way to end the podcast. So as long as I come back from Vegas, we'll be here next week to do 280. Mitch on the ones and twos as always. Charlie here.
Is that like a threat? Maybe like a legitimate possibility?
No. What, you think I'm just going to jump for the Venetian?
No, but maybe just, you know, stay out there and just change up your lifestyle.
I don't know. With the way shit's rolling here, I might just say like, do what Fan had always said. Tell my roommate, say, hey, Mike, just come out to Vegas with me. We'll figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll watch No Tap from a sports book. I'll lose all my money. It's going to be great. All right.
We'll all be fucking broke by a week.
So I look forward to Snowtap live from Las Vegas next week. All right. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Snowtap WY. Yeah, me and Brent. Snowtap WY is where you can find us. Listen to Mitch and Murph on the Daily Tap, respectively. This weekend, those guys are going to kill it. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good rest of the week.
See ya.